WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Presidential candidates heading into the final weekend of campaigning, driving home their messages to undecided voters in battleground Midwest states today. Kamala Harris in Janesville, Wisconsin earlier.
So Janesville, we have just 4 days left. 4 days left. In one of the most consequential elections of our lifetime.
And Donald Trump in Warren, Michigan.
9 years we've been doing it, right? And now we're winding down and hopefully we'll be going to the next phase, which is turning our country around.
Both candidates hold dueling rallies tonight in Milwaukee. More than 68 million Americans have already cast ballots in early and absentee voting. The final jobs report shows just 12,000 jobs created in October. Economists say Hurricanes Helene and Milton and the Boeing strike likely impacted those hires. In Spain, more than 200 people have died following historic flash flooding across the east and south. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. More than half of the members of a committee studying the future of the universities of Wisconsin system have recommended that UW-Madison be separated. The Madison campus of the system is by far the largest and most high profile, and 13 of the 18 members of the committee say separating it would help it compete on a national level. UW system officials and Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers have pushed back on the potential future for the school, saying they prefer to solve problems within the system and that the system is working fine. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance have announced nearly $500,000 in funding to expand reproductive and maternal health care coverage. According to a press release, Wisconsin is one of 14 states to receive the funding through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Expanding Access to Women's Health Grant Program. The OCI will use the funding to conduct a consumer survey, evaluate compliance with contraceptive coverage mandates, and promote access to the services. As the 2024 Minnesota deer season opener approaches, Department of Natural Resources officials are sharing reminders for hunters. Officials say deer numbers in the northeast part of the state are behind the goal, and it may take a few more mild winters for them to rebuild their population. DNR officials are also reminding hunters to check out their equipment to make sure everything is in good shape before heading out. If hunters harvest a deer in a chronic wasting disease management zone, they must have it checked out within 48 hours. A homeless shelter in Duluth has announced a planned expansion of their facility with an increase in the number of people experiencing homelessness. CHUM officials say work to expand their Duluth facility will begin in the spring of 2025, allowing the shelter to open more beds and space and provide more services for people who are struggling. When originally built, the facility was meant to hold about 30 people. Now officials report they're seeing 100 people a day, and many are being forced to sleep on the floor of the shelter due to overcrowding. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. At 5-3, Luke Fickell asked if he's concerned about getting to a bowl game this year.
All we're thinking about is Iowa. And I mean, to think anything past that is crazy.
NFL, the Packers injury list growing. Defensive back Jaire Alexander with a knee injury. Jordan Love with a groin. Starting center Josh Myers with a severe left wrist injury that could prevent him from blocking and pass protection.
It's just going to depend on how I feel these next couple days, you know, and whether or not I feel like I can do it. I think the big thing for me is I just got to make sure I'm not going to hurt the team by playing, you know, so I just have to answer that question.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Grizzlies 122-99. A lot of missed open shots.
This may be the greatest make-miss night ever. The defensive transition was still awful tonight.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. They host the Cavaliers tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy through the night, lows upper 20s. For the afternoon Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds, highs to the low 50s. Then rain moves in on Sunday, cloudy and breezy, a high around 50 degrees. Showers around on Monday, highs near 60. Currently it's 41 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X, and I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And happy Friday to us all. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. He joins me in studio. Jess P.S. is on the board. Jim, thanks for sticking around, man. Good
Dom,
to see you.
Great to be with you once again and talking about all things far and wide, right, including lawsuits by candidates. For the presidency, filing lawsuits while you're campaigning for the presidency. I got to get my lawyers so they can run into court and vindicate all of my crazy theories.
Well, you know, when you have a legal defense fund to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, I mean, you know, you got to spend the money. It doesn't do any good just sitting there.
You
right?
have to pay your legal bills somehow, and that's where it comes from. And so you send your lawyers off and. In this particular case, you go to the Northern District of Texas, where you've gotten some good results in the past. You and I were just chatting. Matthew Kaczmarek, he's the federal district court judge there. He's a trial court judge. This is not the appellate court. That's the Fifth Circuit, also, again, the most conservative circuit in the nation. Matthew Kaczmarek is a name that probably your listeners may recall. He was the guy who entered the order finding that mifepristone cannot be, again, it has to do with agencies, right, that the FDA, 25 years of testing to find that mifepristone, which is one of the two drugs used in most abortion procedures in America, is for the most part safe and secure and can be used by physicians to accomplish this very important medical procedure. Matthew Kaczmarek decides, nope, that sounds wrong to me. I'm going to rely upon some sort of scattershot articles out there and prevent the FDA from not only distributing this, but stopping it from continuing to do this kind of supportive work. Again, ultimately goes up to the Supreme Court. Mifepristone is still available today, Matthew, Judge Kaczmarek out there, for all sorts of reasons.
So he was wrong?
He was wrong, or at least he was premature, is what the Supreme Court said. They decided not to decide that. But again, the fact that this fellow it is a perfect articulation, an example of a judge saying, I don't trust agencies. And this agency, which, again, talk about picking your bad fight, this agency, again, bends over backwards, testing consistently doing this kind of thing. He says, no, I've got some articles here that cast doubt in. The articles, ultimately, for what it's worth, turn out to be not peer-reviewed. So, oops, not a very good basis for doing that. But Judge Kaczmarek is now presiding over this equally frivolous and crazy lawsuit involving CBS News brought by Donald Trump.
And ironically enough, CBS News reporting Trump has sued CBS, alleging the network's deceitful, quote unquote, editing of recent 60 Minutes interview with Harris misled the public and unfairly disadvantaged him. You know, he could go on 60 Minutes and do his own interview and you could Do it all. You could do it right now. They take you right now. Hell, they'd do it for Monday if you wanted
to. They would. You can write an opinion piece if you want to and have it published somewhere in America. All kinds of things. Again, that's the important point here, Dom. This is not meant to recover any sort of damages, not $10
billion
from CBS.
$10
billion.
Because $9 billion wasn't enough and $11 billion was too much.
And did we sit around and calculate that that's exactly the damage that he suffered? I'm not at all confident of that. This is not about the litigation. This will dismissed at some point, even in Kaczmarek's court. It is for the purpose of grabbing attention here. Once again, some mechanism it's using your federal courts for the purposes of your own personal private campaign. That also contemptible, right? Because what you're doing
did the same thing with all these fraudulent election lawsuits.
Absolutely.
They tried to go around last time when they're trying to quote unquote stop this deal.
Right. And you've got judges again who take it seriously. They spend some time on these things. They make the determination, as we know, unanimously. 60 cases finding, what do we know? No election fraud. No fraud out there. The election was not stolen. But the problem with that, of course, is you've got 60 judges who are regrettably focused on these frivolous lawsuits. Now this one, even in Kaczmarek's court, when there are other things that federal district court judges should be doing, including presiding over criminal cases, civil cases, all kinds of things. Donald Trump, again, shame on you. I'm saying that now for the second time in this afternoon. Plainly doesn't have a lot of shame, but this is not a proper use of our federal system.
The CBS said the claims are completely without merit and the network intends to vigorously defend against the lawsuit. Here's what Trump's lawyer said, quote, to paper over Kamala's word salad weakness, CBS used its national platform in 60 Minutes to cross the line from exercise of judgment in reporting to deceitful, deceptive manipulation of news. The suit, said the former president, seeks a jury trial and at least $10 billion in damages. The network, former President Trump's repeated claims against 60 Minutes are false. The interview was not doctored. As you mentioned, this goes to this judge. I mean, he agreed with him last time, right? I mean, if this is the guy that's going to make that decision about Mifepristone, why wouldn't he take this? Say, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm going to have this trial.
Right. And again, it goes to not only form shopping in Texas, in Fifth Circuit, right. Northern District, very, very much supportive of Donald Trump's prior lawsuits. But this is a fellow who's, look what we're doing right now. We're talking about Matthew Kaczmarek here in Wisconsin, other places around the country, obviously, just as we are Aline Cannon. Both of them should not be on the federal bench because of their particular, not their views in substantively, but they do not bring to this the kind of critical thinking you want a federal district court judge to engage in. And the Mifepristone case is one of those. Aline Cannon on this documents case, same kind of thing. So we call upon Judge Kaczmarek to identify the law, which is very favorable to the press, right, to the media, to the thing we call the First Amendment, Judge Kaczmarek, and it does contemplate that people and institutions like CBS News have this prerogative. Did they engage in snipping and putting together a verb here and a noun there? No, this was not. They edit interviews all the time.
All the time.
Right?
It's 60 minutes.
Right.
You
exactly.
only have 60 right. minutes, right. less commercials.
Right.
You can't possibly. Everything's edited. And then what? Fox News, they edited Trump, you know, his own word salad, and no problem there.
Right. And it's frankly, it's a violation of the First Amendment. It's a chilling of media to suggest that they've got to air an entire interview. No, they don't. They've got some not just prerogatives here, but some good judgment properly exercised. That's what CBS was doing. Another crazy, frivolous lawsuit, but yet there it is, and it is intended, again, simply to highlight, not the claim, really, for $10 billion, but this allegation that he thinks that Kamala is dumb and she is the word salad stuff, all those kinds of things. It's just one other mechanism for getting that out several days before the election.
Well, it is his continual fight against the crooked media, you know, the fake news media, the enemy of the people.
We
played a clip from him earlier in the week, I believe. He said the press was the enemy of the people in the word salad sentence that he said enemy five times.
Right.
Five times.
And it wasn't a long sentence. I mean, especially by Trump standards.
Right. Well, it's not only that. Jim, also Roster reporting that Trump filed a complaint against The Washington Post. contending promotion of its election reporting constituted illegal propaganda on behalf of Harris. Quote, the mainstream media has become nothing more than pro-Kamala propaganda. The Democrat machine must be held accountable. Their attorney's deputy general counsel filed a complaint against the Post to the Federal Election Commission on Thursday, according to documentation shared by the Trump campaign. Quote, the Post that reportedly is conducting a dark money corporate campaign in opposition to President Donald J. Trump, pretextually using its own online advertising efforts to promote Kamala Harris's presidential candidacy, wrote their attorney. A Trump campaign accused the Washington Post of violating federal election regulations after Semaphore reported the paper increased spending to promote articles neutral on Harris and critical of Trump. Semaphore reported this was done amid backlash over the Washington Post refusal to endorse the 2024 presidential election that media journalists report have been done to appease Trump. Now, Basil stepped in this thing, Jim, and we had some folks quitting their editorial board over it. It's very similar to what happened. A billionaire owned the LA Times. Their editor resigned because of this as well. This is the multi-pronged effort to go after the press.
Right. And even those resignations, I mean, not that they're good things in terms of the professional status of those staffs, but that's how it should work, right? If your sense of your own journalistic integrity is so impugned, so affected by what your company that hires you and employs you has done, then yeah, you walk away, you make that statement, right? If not, then you stay and you fight internally, externally, you do all those things. It goes back to the larger issue, which is that's what media is about. That's what public discourse is all about. That's what the First Amendment is all about. And again, that FEC of filing here, no merit to it, nothing to see here, easy to move on, America, but done because of the timing of it. The law is not with him. The facts are not with him. We embrace, candidly, the rough and tumble, sometimes the very rough and tumble of First Amendment speech. Some media can get it wrong. New York Times versus Sullivan also establishes a very, very high standard. But the law is not here. The facts are not here. This is not about getting some success in court or in front of the FEC, right?
855-752-4842. Joe from Madison, you're up, Joe. Welcome. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
I think this is hysterical. I think this is absolutely hysterical. I'm kind of wondering, Jim, at what point does CBS get to say, you're defaming us? He's taking a national platform to indicate or to suggest that CBS has done something wrong by, number one, editing an interview. Oh, shock, I'm falling over. That hardly ever happens. And he described them as engaging in election interference, which is a pretty heavy-duty comment to make. And then he was also talking about how they should have their license taken away. My understanding is that CBS News as an entity doesn't have an FCC license. It's the individual stations that have licenses, right? My impression.
That's correct.
I could be wrong. But I mean, he basically is saying that CBS News has engaged in election interference. That's a pretty heavy duty thing to say.
It certainly is, Joe, right? And it's always, I think, go ahead. Yeah. Your instincts are good ones. And here's one thing that the attorneys there don't need me to tell them this, but you can file a counterclaim, right? In that same lawsuit. They brought the lawsuit. We're going to answer this. We're going to deny the allegations here, and we're going to sue you and go in that opposite direction. They may not be successful on that either, but we've got a mess of a lawsuit here already, and we're going to add more to it. You can do counterclaims. Those kinds of things happen all the time, and you push back against the fundamental allegations in the core complaint. And then the judge looks at all this and says, gee, which one of these makes more sense? Joe, you've already told us which one does.
Thank you for the call, Joe. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel joining me. Jess P.S. is on the board. Your calls and texts coming up as well. 855-752-4842. Steve from Milwaukee texts in, isn't threatening Cheney a violation of Trump's bail? That's a great question. We'll come back to it.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio. It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward, and that happens Thursday from 10:30 a.m. until 12:30, and this is a weekly event, happens each Thursday. Again, a kids movie at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library in Hayward each Thursday from 10:30 until 12:30. Community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. James Santel in studio, Jess P.S. on the board. We got some texters being very active today. Let's get to a couple of them. Uncle Tony responds, so Bezos stopped his editorial team for nothing? Yeah, right. So Bezos steps in, says we're not doing a presidential endorsement. Riles up the entire, loses like 250,000 subscribers. People are leaving their jobs, or at least leaving the editorial board. And Trump sues him for $10 billion anyway.
Right? It just can't win, can you? And it just once again underscores the ridiculousness of this litigation.
855-752-4842. What do you have to comment on here about the young voters that they're not gonna step out, they're not gonna get involved in politics, they're not gonna vote? Jess, you brought an article to my attention. I think it was from the Washington Post, the aforementioned Washington Post. Trump's comments about grabbing them by the Access Hollywood tape. Well, now that's getting going around TikTok.
It's having a renaissance, Dom.
Don't call it a comeback. Right. It's been here for years. Rocking my peers, putting suckers in fear. What? So the kids are finally getting it
the
now?
The kids are finding it. So there's this whole demographic of young adults, people who 8 years ago when this tape first came out were 10 to 13 years old. Right. They're in that age bracket where they're not paying attention to politics.
And their parents just were not talking with them about this over the dinner table,
their
right?
Parents didn't want them to see this.
Right? Billy Bush means nothing to them, right? This interview did
precisely. Not. Precisely. So it flew completely under the radar, and then it was just old news. It was, we all know who Trump is. We all know he's a predator. We all know about this, so we're not talking about it. Well, about a week ago, it's blowing up on TikTok and everyone's finding it again. And there's this whole demographic of people who are going, oh, my God, how was this guy ever elected president? How could anyone who has a woman in their life that they care for ever vote for this guy. This is ridiculous. And so there's this whole resurgence, and there's been this outpouring of support for Harris and this outpouring of energy just for the campaign, for getting involved and doing something.
And I think a lot of these folks that you're referring to, Jess, aren't being reflected in the polling.
I think that's absolutely right. They've never voted before.
39% of young adults say they frequently get their news from TikTok, according to Pew Research. And if that's the first time they're seeing that news, they're probably not too pleased. 855-752-4842. Jim, some of the legal issues this week. State of Virginia.
Yes.
They had 1,600 people that were on the voting rolls that apparently, now the Virginia judge said, well, there's some evidence that some of these folks are, in fact, Virginian citizens, U.S. citizens. Right. The time frame wasn't right. It was after the 90 days, and it was not done on an individualized basis. It was done on a whole basis for all these 1,600. That went up to the Supreme Court. Jim, what can you tell us about this?
Right. This is Glenn Youngkin, who's the governor. He says, we got to expedite this. This is in August. We got to get all these people off the rolls, and you got it just right. Moves too quickly. You got to do this precise. You're taking away somebody's right to vote. That's a big deal in America, Governor, and you can't expedite this. We know what he's doing. He's trying to get them off the rules before November. And a court steps in and says, no, you got to get this right. Take your time. Make certain we're not disenfranchising anyone. And what happens is this goes up to the Supreme Court Wednesday of this week, allows Virginia to go ahead, purging 1,600 people, voter rolls, and it's what's called a provisional order. It doesn't help a whole lot right now because it basically means the litigation over this will continue in the lower courts, but it does apply in Virginia to this November election. So we've got 1,600 people. We don't know exactly the numbers, again, because it hasn't been done. We're not finished with this. Yeah. Some of them should be able to vote. And the answer is, Governor, that they're not being able to vote because of what you've done. And, oh, by the way, the Supreme Court, at least, let's say once again, 6 members of the Supreme Court, we know who those folks are, 3 of them, again, saying, you've got to be kidding me. 6 members of the Supreme Court, that's a majority, saying we're not going to touch this. Go ahead and, again, keep them off the polls while you're doing this. It is, again, Virginia, plainly not one of the battleground states, so probably not going to make a huge amount of difference, but it is another indication of the kinds of things that are going on right now pre-election. And just wait, hold on, as we're all saying, until after the election, depending upon what happens.
What was your sense of their justification? I mean, it was certainly, as a lower court judge ruled, right, the time frame wasn't there. That, you know, we talked about the specifics that would allow this to normally happen. This did not meet those specifics. But the good news is, and we did check this out, the state of Virginia, starting in 2022, allows for same-day voter registration. So if those 1,600 people, some of those are going to be U.S. citizens, and they're going to try to exercise their right to vote, and they find out that they're kicked off the rolls, they can still at least register the day up, but they got to bring their identification, all their stuff, to properly register. It is still kind of a pain, but what... So was it unconstitutional how the Virginia law was stated? What was their justification?
Yeah, the judge said that the state should stop continuing any systematic program intended to remove the names of ineligible voters until the election. Federal appeals court agrees. What he's basically saying is, again, get this right. Do it in a way that's methodical. Do it in a way that does not sweep too broadly. And that's the real concern here. If we have people in this category who should have the right to vote, a right to vote like many other rights. Yeah. It's a fundamental right. Don't do this. The Justice Department also, again, siding again with the judges there, the Supreme Court going in the opposite direction, at least for now. This will come back probably down the road. But at least for this election, we've got 1,600 people absent the registration pursuit, as you just described, who are not on the rolls. And what is the larger motivation for this? It's just this notion that somehow the elections are fraudulent in America. We've got all of these immigrants, these people who are not citizens who are voting, and it's just not true. It's just to advocate once again for a view of our election system that isn't accurate and hope that people buy into it. And it's so deceptive.
And we're going to get overwhelmed with it more and more. This is going to keep on happening, and hopefully we'll have good judges. And if it ever gets to a jury or a trial, that the truth will come out. I am not afraid of the truth, Jim. I don't believe this is happening to the degree that these folks think it is for a minute. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That's James Santel, Jess P.S. on the board. You are next, 855-752-4844. 4-2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Rusk County town is appealing a federal injunction requiring it to use accessible voting machines. The town of Thornapple was hit with the injunction a few weeks ago, accused of violating the Help America Vote Act by removing voting machines and deciding to hand count paper ballots for the April and August primary elections. The town's appeal challenges the definition of voter system. The town attempted to have the lawsuit dismissed, but their motion was denied by Wisconsin Western District Chief U.S. Judge James Peterson. A Rice Lake man accused of evading police during a high-speed chase has been located and charged. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Office, 21-year-old Logan Olson of Rice Lake was charged with fleeing an officer, recklessly endangering safety, operating with a revoked license, and bail jumping on Monday. The chase started when a Barron County officer attempted to stop the motorcycle being driven by Olson when he fled. He allegedly reached speeds of 90 miles per hour and escaped by driving on a walking trail where police could not follow. Superior residents will see a jump in their utility bill after regulators approved rate hikes on Thursday. Superior Water, Light, and Power asked the Wisconsin Public Service Commission for an 18% hike on water, 17% hike on natural gas, and 2.2% hike on electric. Instead, regulators approved a 14.6% increase for gas, a nearly 11% increase for water, and a 1.3% increase for electric. The company says they wanted to raise over $7 million to improve infrastructure and clean up a former gas plant. After collecting nearly 300 submissions and narrowing them down to 10 finalists, it's time for Duluth residents to vote for their favorite in their first-ever snowplow naming contest. Among the 10 finalists are names like Sled Zeppelin, Blizzard Wizard, and Edgar Allan Plow. Residents have until November 4th to vote for their favorite name on the City of Duluth's website, and the winner will be announced on November 11th. The winning name will also be displayed on the snowplow at the Christmas City of the North Parade on November 22nd. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Holiday movie season is about to kick off, and there are two big films to be released in the next couple weeks. And theater owners and studio executives are hoping they crush the gate. It's not quite Barbenheimer, but Gladiator 2 and Wicked both open November 22nd, and cumulatively are estimated to pull in almost $150 million to help kick off the holiday box office. Hopefully these films match the amount of buzz and hype that is brewing throughout Hollywood. A Hollywood actor is headed to prison for 12 months and a day for his part in the January 6th insurrection in 2021. Actor Jay Johnston has appeared in shows like Bob's Burgers, Parks and Rec, Arrested Development, and the critically acclaimed Mr. Show. According to NBC News, the actor, who was also in Anchorman and Men in Black 2, pleaded guilty to obstructing officers during civil disorder. According to Variety, the actor stole a police shield to help make a wall against police and pinned an officer against a doorframe and was arrested a month later. Tough way to get a new headshot. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Nights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy through the night, lows upper 20s. For the afternoon Saturday, a mix of sun and clouds, highs to the low 50s. Then rain moves in on Sunday, cloudy and breezy, a high around 50 degrees. Showers around on Monday, highs near 60, currently 40 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
With hey, makeup. Do I rate?
You absolutely, I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison entertainment critic and CityCast Madison editor Rob Thomas. And it's Friday, which means Terry Barr will be here for Bar Band Friday Night with some most excellent new tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
And welcome back to the Dom Stalvey Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. I see Cam out there working hard, making some pictures of Jim.
Thank you for that, Cam. That's lovely.
It is fantastic, Cam. I want to hire you for many, many other projects underway here.
Parental advisory, explicit content. Thank you, Cam, for playing along. Jim, real quick, I want to throw this one out there before we get back to the lines. The New York Times reporting from a couple days ago, the Pennsylvania Democratic Party filed a suit against Erie County on Wednesday, arguing that many voters have not received mail-in ballots ahead of Election Day. In its lawsuit, the party said, quote, 10 to 20,000 voters who requested mail-in ballots have not received or submitted such ballots, and that the return rate for such ballots in Erie County was 15 percentage points below the state average. The party also said that 552 voters in the county have contacted the hotline because they have either received an incorrect mail-in ballot or have yet to receive any mail-in ballot whatsoever. Now, neither the County Board of Elections nor the Erie County Republican Party immediately replied to requests for comments. In a statement on Tuesday, the Erie County Board of Elections said it was acutely aware that many voters in Erie County have not received the requested mail-in ballots. The board has been working diligently with the Voter Registration Department, Pennsylvania Department of State, and the United States Post Office to determine the origin and scope of this matter. I mean, woo, that could 10 to 20,000 votes in Pennsylvania, Jim?
10 to 20 is significant. 10 to 20,000, that's huge. And that's my first reaction to this. This is no small thing, and they need to be very diligent about this. This is also the kind of thing when I first heard about this story that, you know, we're in that period of time now when bad things can happen that will affect the election and the counting come Tuesday and Wednesday and maybe even Thursday and Friday of next week. These are the kinds of things that prompt lawyers to say, we need to get into court right away. And they file the lawsuit and certainly can remedy things for the future. So whatever the systemic problem was and mailing or whatever that was, we can remedy that for down the road. But you still have a very limited but nonetheless opportunity maybe to remedy this and to figure out what's got to happen right now, to send out some public service announcements saying, listen, we've got this problem. We want to let you know that here are all the voting opportunities you have here in Erie County. Do some things right now and compel the county here, compel the clerk to try to remedy this in the best way possible, yeah. Maybe imperfectly between now and Tuesday, but get this underway now because you don't after Tuesday, after Wednesday, when the counting is done, it's too late.
So if I'm in Pennsylvania and I'm waiting for my absentee ballot and it doesn't come, right, can I just go and vote in person on Tuesday then?
Yes, I can tell you what happens here in Wisconsin, yeah, which is we've got your name, of course, in a registration book. And it will typically say, you know what, an absentee ballot was sent out. It was issued, right? Yeah. Sometimes it will also say it was returned. And so if you come in and try to vote. And
that's
you,
how they'll know.
And that's why there's no voter fraud, because the system picks that up, right? But if you go in and you say, listen, I've got... I just come here after work. I know where it is. I don't know where it is. You can absolutely go in to vote. And I have to believe that's the way it's in Pennsylvania as well. The mere fact that you've gotten an absentee ballot does not mean that you cannot walk in on that day. And that's the kind of thing I'm recommending. Admittedly, for 10 to 20,000 people, that's a lot. That's no small number. But something to get messages out there that if you have not received your ballot, unless it comes in, well, tomorrow's mail, and again, can you get it in? Probably not that quickly,
not
right?
Not through the mail
Not
for
the mail.
No,
too late,
you have
right?
to get it, fill it out, and then physically bring it in.
Exactly, right? So you've got a very limited period of time here to do something. Got to get to those people and make sure that they know that that it's not coming, and they've got to go in or do something else to make sure their vote is counted.
And we don't know, obviously, as they do their investigation to find out what happens. Hopefully there's no nefarious things going on here, but that's a big number in a swing state, very important state. 855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown. Hey, Annie, welcome. What do you got for us?
More than a decade ago, I participated in a hand ballot recount of the Scott Walker election. Already during the process, there were some problems with having all the data go through Jill Stein's office, which now makes more and more sense how, gee, why are they screwing us up during this? And it makes me think. But at that time, there was no paper record. There were no paper records of people voting on electronic machines, and there was no required testing, which other states had. I couldn't believe it that Wisconsin didn't, that after you get done, you grab a bunch of ballots and run it through the machine and say, does it back up the results? And Wisconsin didn't require that. Now it sounds like we do that. But as far as I can tell, there are paper records of all of our ballots. So when people say, you know, how do you test things? I think there have been improvements since I worked on that, 15 years ago.
Sure. Right. And Annie, it sounds like, again, thank you for doing that. Again, public service, that's important.
There we go.
Right. There you go. We certainly have advancements as technology permits us to do that. And in my experience, again, there are tapes. So at the end of the night, the machines generate tapes, and you can see quite literally in all the different wards exactly who voted for whom, and not who voted for whom, but you can see the numbers of people who voted in particular areas. And it really is a tremendous backup to what you see on the sort of the screen itself. It is multiple checks and balances. And so that's why, along with the human aspect of this, you know, somebody comes in and says, gee, I messed up my ballot here. Can I have a new ballot? There's a way of doing that, right?
Sure.
There's a process for doing it. You have to have a human being who will engage with that voter. But then you also rely upon technology to make certain that the great numbers of people are voting, and they will on Tuesday, that we can process those. You do get paper records, and in my experience, those are all, they're maintained, and you can take a look at them to see, to make certain that the numbers, if you will, not the hand count, so to speak, but the numbers electronically are consistent with what the paper says.
855-752-4842. So there's paper backup. Now, we don't do touchscreens, at least in here that I've used.
Right.
We actually, you know, take the paper ballot and put it
Absolutely.
Into the machine.
Right.
But the touchscreen still would have a paper receipt, essentially, of it.
Sure. There's some record out there. And again, at the end of the day, that's why your poll workers then remain after the polls have closed to make sure that everything is consistent. And again, my experience has been that if you are off by one vote, we are going to stay there until we find that discrepancy.
Yeah.
Done that. And it's important, again, not just for that one vote, for the overall integrity. And you find it. Oh, indeed, yes, this package was bundled in such a way. There's 9 here instead of 10. And then everybody says, yay, we found the one vote.
Yeah.
That's how particular it is. And that's why, once again, when I hear these stories about, well, I can walk in, we can have non-citizens voting, we can have all this fraud going
on.
It is just, from my perspective, and again, it's not every precinct around the country, but I'd venture to say it's almost impossible to engage in that kind of fraud. At least today it is.
Well, and then to put oneself at risk to do that, especially if you're already not in the country legally, that's a big leap in my opinion as well. Jim, 855-752-4842. Eric from Tulsa just finished up some poll worker training, has some answers for us about the absentee ballot that perhaps didn't make it, like what's going on in Pennsylvania and Erie County. Hey, Eric, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hello, Dom. And just real quickly, I'd like to say it's a great time to be a Detroit Lions fan.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
And belated congratulations on your show.
Thanks, man.
I haven't called in since you had the show, but long-time listener since 17, I think.
Wow, so, very much appreciated, Eric.
Yeah, for sure. I was at the debate at the Miramar Theater, I'll say that.
All right.
So let me say that, I just took some training, and you can, if you have in Milwaukee, because there's still early voting places, Saturday and Sunday, in Milwaukee, you can bring in that ballot, and you can fill it out, and you can submit it there. You can spoil it, as they say, tear it up, and you can start all over again. You can do either with early voting. You can't bring in your mail-in ballot to the election. You can bring it into the election on Tuesday, wherever you vote, no matter where it might be, but they'll have you spoil it there and just go ahead and vote.
Right. And it has to do with also, again, appreciate very much that practical insight. We also live in a state where we can't begin to count those absentee ballots until, again, the polls open on Tuesday, which is not a huge burden, but nonetheless, it's the kind of thing that...
But it goes in defeat. Oh, they dumped a bunch of ballots at midnight in Milwaukee. And of course, this is how the law is written. They had an opportunity, a bipartisan bill here in the state of Wisconsin, to change it. So they couldn't use that as some, you know, fodder for their conspiracy theories. They declined, I believe it was the Senate declined, to take that up. But now we're going to have it this year. Guarantee you. I guarantee freaking to you. Mm-hmm. Trump will be tweeting out something about Milwaukee's 100,000 votes that come in at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, he did it last time. He's going to do it again. Of course, the demographics out of Milwaukee, when you don't get that, you know, majority of those are going to be for Harris.
Right. And again, we've got buckets of votes coming in all of a sudden. Where are these coming from? The polls were closed four and 5 hours ago. It's just that notion that everything is calculated in the very moment of the voting. For some folks, it is, if you're right there. But the final tallies, again, are not reported until the particular board and again, Eric providing some good advice here, a good insight into how that all works.
So if I have my absentee ballot and I don't believe, say it came today, I'm not going to fill it out, put it back in the mail, expect that it would be received, you know, by election day. I can literally take that to my polling place. They'll have me destroy it. What's the term?
Mm-hmm. Right. We'll be destroy it and we'll sort of rip it sort of in half, do it in front of the voter. We make a note of that. That's how particularized this is. Yeah. We don't identify who the voter is, but
spoil the vote.
Exactly. Ask the voter, do you want a new ballot? The answer is yes. We'll give you a new ballot. We'll take that spoiled ballot, put it in an envelope, mark that, and indicate, yes, indeed, this is what happened here. The vote goes in, and the process works. It is that particularized. That's what Eric is also talking about here. There's a very specific human aspect to making sure that every single vote is counted. And again, that every voter feels as if they've been a part of this system and they have indeed participated in it.
And the volunteers and the folks that work at these offices, and this is, I mean, it's great work. And thank you, Jim, for doing it. And Eric, I know you said you were just got done with your training as well. I mean, these are our friends and our neighbors, and they all have their own political leanings and their own thing, but they're out there trying to help out, volunteering their time, and hopefully getting paid for it, for some of them anyway, to help the election process here in our country. And we have over 1,800 different municipal workers spread out in Wisconsin. There's no way in my mind that you could have a conspiracy that would impact any sort of actual vote tally. You'd have to get all those folks in line, and that's never going to happen.
Right. It's that notion that you've got, again, this conspiracy where everyone's somehow gotten together in advance and put this all. It's an absurd proposition once again. To the other points we've been making all afternoon here, it also assumes that you've got credible, decent, hardworking people who come there to make sure the system works, and they're purposely going to try to undermine this very system that they're spending, frankly, 12, 13, 14, 16 hours of doing this.
Right.
The motivation's all wrong. The theory is all wrong. It just doesn't happen. And also comment about, you know, the special thing, special focus, not only on the voter who makes a mistake. There are all sorts of wonderful, good processes, again, for motor voting, so to speak, for people who have a disability, right? Make sure that they can vote and assisted voting when that can properly be done. All that involves the human interaction with the voter who says, I need some assistance. I need some special consideration, not in terms of things that would affect in any way the substance of their vote, but simply to facilitate the very fact that they can and will vote in that moment.
And that is an issue. Journal Sentinel was reporting today, Jim, that federal officials will be in four cities here in Wisconsin, observing the vote, I guess, the city of Milwaukee, the city of Wausau, and two cities in Rusk County. Apparently, they were supposed to facilitate for disabled voters, and they didn't do that, and now they're apparently going to, and the feds are going to be keeping an eye on them as well.
And you could find yourself in the receiving end of an investigation by the Civil Rights Division of Maine Justice. If, in fact, what you're doing is systemic, again, would there be a small mistake made? Sure, that can happen, but we remedy that also.
Yeah.
You identify that and remedy it to make certain the voter has voted. But if it is systemic and you're doing something to disenfranchise a group of people, including people with who may have disabilities, other access issues, that's a problem. And the Department of Justice has filed lawsuits, pursued investigations. We want to get this right. The purposes of it is to deter the bad conduct,
yes,
to encourage the good conduct,
yes,
as well, and to say,
yes,
you know what, you're doing this right.
Absolutely.
And good for you, and let's ensure that that continues.
Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. One last segment, 855-752-4842.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams. Composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Dom Salve Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Our last segment of the day, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, thank you for hanging out with me today. Jess P.S. on the board. Thank you, Jess. We've got a couple of callers and a couple of texters. We'll try to squeeze you all in here. Wanted to throw this one out there. I was reminded, hey, Melissa, I believe it was from Willie Street, make sure you let people know that you cannot wear candidate gear,
yes,
or
yes,
merchandise into the polls. I did see some reporting, I think it was last week, Jim, where a Trumpster like assaulted some election worker because they didn't want to take their MAGA hat off.
Take it off, leave it in the car, put it back on when you get back in the car and do that. Just take the sweatshirt off. It's not a big deal. You can't be campaigning inside a polling area. It's just that simple. That's the law. You come in and you do that.
Yeah, I don't like that law,
right,
Jim.
Right, yep. And it's no violation of your First Amendment right. It really is not. And again, if someone politely, as we will sometimes do, say, we need to have you remove that scarf, that headwear, that sort of thing. They're doing that not because of a political view about the candidate themselves, but just because it is the law and it's to be enforced.
What about like adjacent stuff, like a rainbow for LGBTQ, or you're wearing an ACLU shirt? I mean, what about, you know, something that isn't so obvious?
Right. Those kinds of things are probably permissible. Again, it just they send general messages. The ACLU typically is not on the ballot, right? And right. So you've got those issues. And I could wear a League of Women Voters shirt of that kind of thing. It's the candidates themselves. You don't want people inside promoting, campaigning effectively while people are actually voting. It's a real simple remedy once again. Leave it in the car.
Just leave it in the car, people.
It's real. It's just that
and
simple.
And be nice. Just be nice.
And be nice.
Everybody
right?
be
exactly.
nice.
Exactly.
Everybody
smile.
Be cool.
You'll
be cool. That's right.
And go through the process and have some good conversation along the way about whatever you want, including the weather.
Be cool. You're the bouncer. I am the cooler. You'll be cool until I tell you not to be cool. A little roadhouse. 855-752-4842. Let's see. We have, let me find it now, Tom from Jackson. Does Mr. Santel know if the counting of mail-in ballots starts when the polls open or after the polls close at 8 p.m.? Jim, you're involved.
Yes, I am. So the practice is, and again, I think this is universal throughout the state of Wisconsin, is when the polls are announced, the polls are not open, the doors are open and people come flooding in. It's at that point, again, under state law, that the people who are reviewing and are counting those absentee ballots can begin to open them up and do that processing. It's at that point. They will continue to do that as long as is necessary to get through all of them. And so if they're not done at 8 o'clock when the in-person voting is concluded, they will still continue to count them. Nothing wrong with that at all, because you want to make certain that everybody's vote is counted, even those who have plainly who have sent in their ballots by mail. But it begins at the time that the polls open.
So if there's no action, and the polls open, a few people trickle in because it's early, and you have all the folks there, they'll team up and they'll start going through the absentee ballots. And how does that process work?
Sure. So typically, again, you've got some training. As Eric just said in our previous segment, everybody is trained on how this is done. Not all of it's completely intuitive, but you want to have people, again, who've got good judgment and who know what the process is. The training is very helpful to do that. If indeed you've got some folks who can help out, for example, at a registration desk, you may for a few minutes say, I'm going to have you work over here. We've got a long line here. You can make those adjustments on the staff sure. in the moment to make it work. For the most part, you'd want to try to have people, if you're on the books, the people who are coming in to vote in person, you want to keep them in place for the entire, or at least a half a day or the entire day if they're staying. Registration, the same kind of thing, because you do develop some expertise. You want to have some routinization of all
that. Got a good system down. You've been doing it for hours.
Right,
you got to figure it
right.
out. Yep.
You know where all the stickers are and those kinds of things. Right. And you know when you need to call over an inspection, a chief inspector to have some specific issue addressed. So you've got sort of the identification of jobs inside the entire group, not to say that you can't shift things around as the need is identified during the day.
But generally people will be on the book, on the books, helping people come in. You'll have people on the absentees.
Right, exactly.
In your experience, Jim, in your precinct, how many people are involved in the process?
So, again, it's quite literally hundreds throughout the city of Brookfield is where I am and where I work at our particular location. Again, we probably have at least 20, 30 or so throughout the day who are, again, doing counting, who are there. And I think the number is even greater this time just because we're anticipating a greater turnout. Folks also just there, again, to greet, to ensure that the machines are properly, that your ballots are going into the machine properly, all those kinds of things. When time permits and when resources permit, even though that person who says, can I give you an I voted sticker, right?
You
want to make certain that everybody feels good about this. And so it depends upon the level of activity.
Yeah.
But it is no small number of people. Right. And again, when you don't have everything filled, that's when the system does not break down. But that's when you do have have to make some of those special accommodations to ensure that everybody gets in and out as promptly as possible.
Jim, what's your favorite task, your favorite part of doing this, of being involved in the election process?
All right. So my favorite is still being on the books, which is just, you know, come forward and we'll identify. We've got usually two people. Again, there's your check. Once again, we both identify in two different books. Same text, but two different books. Who are you? Let's look at the identification there. Give you the ballot and tell them, you know, that they plan they can go off to one of the carols.
So you get to interact with the people.
Interact with the people, right? Yeah, it is great fun. And it's an affirmation, once again. Here's my latest sketch on a pillow here. It's an affirmation of America, right? It's exactly what should be going on. So that's great fun. Beyond that, just the interaction with people, coming in and out and talking with them and making sure that they feel comfortable in the entire
folks,
system.
It is a privilege. Please exercise your privilege, your right to vote. Thank you, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Abacus, a Law Review. That'll come up tomorrow at 9 a.m. Tune in. Thank you, Jess, for all the hard work you did. Thank you to our fair audience. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.